Sairam dear listeners, till now you have heard the afternoon satsang by brothers Prem and Arvind, and it's now time for us to go to the next segment of this Thursday Live. And this is Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of the Vera Jignasa program. And without any further delay, we shall start today's class by collectively offering our most humble salutations at Bhagwan's divine lotus feet, and with a humble prayer that every thought, word and deed is his inspiration. In this new year, praying to Swami that he gives us more and more opportunities, more and more insights, and more thoughts of going deeper and deeper into the learning and the understanding of the Vedic texts and the understanding of Vedic knowledge. And with these few words, we shall start today's episode with the Ganapati Prarthana Mantram. Om Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavinkavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspatanashrunvan Notivhissidasadanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. So, dear listeners, from the previous episode, continuing with our journey about the quest for what exactly is the true wealth, the explanation, the significance, and the analysis or the understanding or a better understanding of the Sri Suktam. So, in the last episode, we had discussed about Kam sosmitam hiranya prakara mardram jvalantim triptam tarpayantim. We had dealt with what exactly Kam is, sosmitam, the beautiful smile of Swami, and then how it enchants or fills your heart with joy once you have seen that beautiful smile on Swami's face, on the Divine Mother's face, and how Ardram, the compassionate Lord, the compassionate Mother, showers her love on the entire creation of hers. Here, when we are discussing about Kam Sosmitam Hiranya Prakara Mardram Jvalantim Triptam Tarpayantim, a small doubt may arise when the context of Jvalantim comes. How come the two opposite words are joined together? Jvalantim and Triptam. Jvalantim is something which burns or which is flaming. Triptam is one which is, the meaning of which is satiated, or one whose thirst is satisfied. And there is one more beautiful thing, Ardram, which is wetness. So it is said that mother's eyes become moist due to the compassion seeing her children. In the last class we had discussed about how Bhagwan out of his mercy, God out of his mercy, comes down into human form. Avataranchuta yanatalo ardhamemi Janulapai Priti Vatsalya Paratatoda, that motherly love, motherly compassion over his children, in order to express that feeling, in order to take all of us into her bosom, mother takes avatar and then comes down on earth to give us that bliss of her darshan, sparshan and sambhashan. So a doubt may arise, why Ardram and Jvalantim are together? The ardram is one which is moist, moisture, and then jvalantim is flaming. So, in this context, I am reminded of a very beautiful incident, because it is very nicely told that Mother or God is beyond the understanding of nature, beyond the laws of nature, because this state of complete satisfaction can be achieved only by the grace of the Divine Mother. So, the words Ardra and Jvalantim are contradictory. What is wet cannot be burning. So, however, Goddess is beyond the limitations of nature, as we were talking. Prakriti, as seen by the Sankhya theory, happens to be just an aspect or a part of hers. So, in this context, I am reminded of a very beautiful incident that happened in the Vrindavan campus, when once Swami was very, very upset with the boys. Swami was expressing his anger or his disappointment towards what the boys have done, and he was trying to keep the boys away. And Swami, suddenly he wanted to go to Prashanti Nilayam from Vrindavan. And he packed his luggage and he put it in the car and started to move on. And then as he was coming out of the Trai Vrindavan, all the students were very, very perplexed as to why Swami was so disturbed and so disappointed with whatever the boys had done. The boys were all as usual. Whenever Swami keeps silent, the boys go inward and they start introspecting, and they started to pray much harder as to why Swami is keeping away from them. And then when Swami was getting into the car, all the students surrounded Swami and they made the path on either side. They assembled on either side of the Swami's path. And then they were trying to hold Swami and then trying to plead Swami not to go. And then Swami was in his furious state. And the students who were present there at that time, they were explaining as to they had never ever seen Swami in such a furious form. And then the students who were trying to hold Swami's hand, Swami was just throwing them away. And then the students were falling almost 3 to 4 feet away from him. And then the boys who were catching hold of Swami's feet, Swami was like pushing them aside. And then he was very, very reluctant to listen to whatever the boys were telling. And the boys were wondering what exactly was happening with Swami. When this was happening, on the other side of the Trai Vrindavan was the Ramesh Hall, where all the devotees, all the lady devotees were assembled with the aartis, because they had got the information that Swami is going to Prashanti Nilayam. And then as Swami was about to get into the car, they all spotted the boy surrounding Swami and Swami throwing them aside. Swami's eyes, the boys who were there at that time, they were explaining that when they had seen Swami, the anger on one side, it was like fuming, and the Lord was in his Rudra form. And then on the other side, as his glance fell on the devotees who were there waiting for him, the same love, the same compassion that he used to show on everyone, the two sides of a coin, boys were able to just spot as Swami kept moving through the group of students. And then one side he was pushing the students aside, he was looking with red eyes. And on the other side, as he turned towards his left, he saw all the devotees and Swami started blessing them. And nevertheless, to say, Swami had left to Vrindavan, and this was a glimpse of the dual aspect of God, because Swami is beyond our limitations of understanding. So we limit Swami to one particular thing, but in this case, nobody could understand why Swami was behaving like this with the students. On the other hand, he was showing that ardram, that love and compassion towards the devotees. And he was jwalantim on the students. As this being 7th of January, I am reminded of the source or the reason for this incident to happen, that Swami, after Swami had left to Prashanthi Nilayam, all the Vrindavan boys started praying to Swami, because Swami had sent message that they should be cancelling the sports meet for that year. Because this incident happened in December, and all the students prayed very, very fervently to Swami, that Swami, please Swami, we at any cost, we do not want to miss the opportunity of putting up the sports meet show in front of you. And then Swami, out of his mercy, agreed to whatever his children had asked for. And then the most difficult thing happened for Swami on the sports meet day in that year, when Swami was coming in the chariot. Swami had envisioned the fall of a boy on the top of a metal structure on a moving vehicle while doing yogasanas or some formation. And then, in order to protect the life of that boy, Swami had taken upon himself that fall. Actually, when we envision this entire incident, so after what had happened next was, Swami, he was bleeding profusely during the sports meet as it was happening. And then, in order to avoid any sort of distraction or any sort of attention from the devotees or the students, Swami very regularly kept using the washroom, and he kept wiping all the blood stains. And then on the final day, the 14th of January, on the Sankranti prize distribution day, Swami had called one elderly person and he had explained exactly what happened, how he fell in order to protect that student's life, and then how he had taken upon himself those bruises onto himself. And then upon announcing this entire thing to the audience in the Sai Kulwant Hall, all the students, all the devotees were so moved that they had tears in their eyes. And the love of Swami that he had expressed that day in order to protect that life of the boy, that the reflection of that jwalantim which happened in December in Vrindavan, when Swami was fuming at the boys, was nothing but a reflection of his ardram or the compassion that he had inside him. Often, very, 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 a few times do we understand what Swami does for us. So even when Swami is angry with us, we all know that it is because of his compassion, because of his unfathomable love for all of us, that he had behaved that way with all of us. When we take the aspect of the Shirdi avatar, a devotee, when he comes with a complaint that a snake had bit him, and then he approaches Baba, and Baba tells him, Shaitan, you go back, Shaitan, you go back. And then the devotee is taken aback as to why, when asked for help, Baba is driving him away. And then after the devotee recovers, Baba goes and chides him and tells him that it is not to you that I have told Shaitan go away, but the poison that was there in you that I had driven away. So the jwalantim or the burning or the anger of God, anger of mother, is nothing but a reflection of the ardram or the compassion of the mother. So it is very difficult for us to understand the tattva of God. So it is better that we just leave it to God. Whatever he does is best for us. And we just experience being in his hands as an instrument. So going on to the next aspect of the Sri Suktam after Kamso Smitam. Padme Stitam Padmavarnam Tamiho Pahvaye Shriyam. We shall go through the word by word meaning. Padme Stitam, the pink lotus situated, comparing one to a lotus, this refers to someone who is in the midst of mud or all the desires, yet sitting above it all, untouched by the same mud of desires. One who lives amongst people with many desires, yet is desireless oneself. Padmavarnam, pink or the lotus hued. This indicates a healthy pink appearance. Tam, in such a manner, iha, here and now, upahvaye, come near, shriyam, your energy, power and wealth. So, padme stitam padmavarnam tami hopahvaye shriyam, amidst worldliness yet desireless, healthy pink, come here and now, come with shriyam. So when we talk about lotus, Padme Stitam, that the Divine Mother is seated or placed in the lotus, her throne is the lotus, we often compare God as a lotus-eyed God, Kamala Netra, Kamala Pada, Pada Kamalam. So everything is related to a lotus. Why is it that lotus is so important in the aspect of spirituality? That is the aspect which Swami had beautifully narrated about in one of the discourses. Here in the Sri Suktam it is mentioned that Padme Stitam, the Divine Mother, is seated in the lotus. Where is the lotus? That is what we need to understand. So, in one of the discourses, and I quote of Swami, in the human body, there are what are called Shad Chakras or six spiritual centers. Of these, the two most important are the Hridaya Chakra or the heart center and the Sahasrara or the thousand petaled center. The Hridaya Chakra is also known as the Hridaya Kamala, the lotus of the heart. And the Sahasrara is called the thousand petaled lotus. The lotus of the heart has eight petals. These eight petals symbolize the eight worlds, the eight directions, the eight guardians of the world, the eight bhutas or the spirits, and the eight parts of the earth. North, east, west, south, northeast, southwest, all these. Because Krishna was the lord of these eight petals, he was described as the husband of eight queens. The master is called Pati, and those under him are described as wives. So this is a symbolic relationship and not a husband-wife relationship in the worldly sense. Swami was explaining this in the context of how people misinterpret Bhagavatam. It is because the esoteric significance of these relationships was not properly understood. The Bhagavatam came in for misinterpretation. It is also stated that Krishna was wedded to 16,000 gopikas. Who are these gopikas? They are not cowherdesses in physical form. In the human head, there is a lotus with a thousand petals. The Lord is described as the embodiment of the 16 kalas. As the Lord of the Sahasrara or the thousand petal lotus, he presides over the 16,000 kalas which are present in this lotus. The Kundalini Shakti, which starts at the bottom of the spinal column or the Muladhara, rises and merges with the 16,000 entities in the Sahasrara. This is the esoteric significance and the meaning of the role of the divine within the body. I unquote. So beautifully Swami describes about the lotus in this context. And then we all see that lotuses are found in the mud. I am reminded of a very beautiful incident that happened in Kodaikanal when we accompanied Swami to Kodai in 2005. It was the first time we were going with Swami, and in all His love and grace, Swami is our divine mother and father, and He wants us to enjoy in His presence. On one side, He asks us to explore the world, and with a thought that God is present in each and every aspect of the world. That is what Swami had trained us all to do. Each one of us, Swami has been guiding us in that way. So on one such occasion, Swami had asked all of us to go for boating and horse riding. So we all prayed to Swami that afternoon we were leaving, and then we had all gone to the lake, which is right in front of Swami's residence, the Sai Shruti. And then as we were going for boating, there were innumerable number of violet blue lotuses in the lake in front of Sai Shruti. And then it struck me as we were going along the waters. We thought Swami loves flowers, and every day we used to offer flower to Swami whenever we were giving aarti to Swami. So we thought, why not take a few lotus flowers and then offer it to Swami, take it right in front of His doorstep, and then as soon as He opens the door in the afternoon, the first thing that Swami should see is these lotuses. And then with that intention, I plugged out a handful of lotuses from their stalks, which were not even bloomed. Actually, they were lotus buds. And I was in full enthusiasm to show Swami what I had got for Him. And then we came back to Sai Shruti. I took a small box, filled it up with water, and then put all these lotus flowers, lotus buds in the glass, in the box. And then afternoon we were all supposed to report to Swami that we had finished boating. And then I kept the box of lotuses right in front of Swami's doorstep. And as soon as Swami opened the door, His eyes fell on the bottle of lotuses there. And then Swami became so wild. And as we saw in the previous line, Jwalantim, Swami was furious. Swami put a very, very serious face, and Swami asked, "Who got this?" And then I had to muster up courage that I was the one who did the mistake. So I knelt up and then told Swami, "Swami, it was me." "Why did you get this?" Swami asked in a very, very serious tone. Then I explained to Swami that, "Swami, you like flowers. That is why I had got this when I went for boating." Then Swami started explaining. Because the intention with which the lotus was brought was to offer Swami. So Swami, so lovingly, He started explaining the lesson for us. And Swami told, "Ento papam raniku. See, these flowers, you will incur a lot of sin if you pull the flowers there, because they have not yet bloomed. If they are in the lake with the sunlight, they will happily bloom and will bring beauty to the lake." That is what Swami told on that day. When we heard directly from Swami, from that moment onwards, it really hurts me whenever I go and try to pluck a flower. I remember Swami telling, "Papam raniku, why do you pluck those flowers?" This incident so beautifully tells us that see, sarva jiva namaskaram keshavam pratigachyati, sarva jiva tiraskaram keshavam pratigachyati. The God is there in the lotus. That is why when before the lotus had bloomed itself, when he had pulled it with the stalk, the pain went to Swami. The same thing when you see the beauty of the lotus in the lake, we are doing nothing but enjoying the beauty of the mother who is very much present in the lotus which is there in the lake. So this is how Swami teaches us. And coming back to Padme Sthitam Padmavarnam Tamihopahvaye Shriyam, Swami tells us the significance of what to understand from the lotus. Many greats, and I quote Swami from a discourse, many great souls have experienced the heart as a lotus. Although rooted in mire and growing up in muddy water, the lotus shines in purity. When the lotus opens its petals and looks up, it seems to be saying, O Lord, please come and dwell in me. Though born in mire, it does not wallow in it. Though surrounded by polluted water, it is not polluted by it. This is the great lesson that the lotus has to teach man. Though you are living in a corrupt world and are born in the mire of an unrighteous society, you must turn your mind towards God and make your heart a shrine for God. This is the message of the lotus to man. I unquote Swami. So, Swami, in his first letter to his brother, Akhila Manavalaku Anandamanagurchi Rakshinchuchundute Dikshanaku Bida Sadalakaina Pinubhada Taraginchi Lemini Bapute Premanaku Manchi Chaddalakuda Manasulo Samamuga Bhavinchuchundute Bhakti Naku. Here, Swami explaining his avataric mission, what he has come for. In this beautiful line, Manchi Chaddalakuda Manasulo Samamuga Bhavinchuchundute Bhakti Naku. The lotus teaches us that be in the world, but yet not the world be in you, or you shouldn't get affected by what is happening around the world in you. When we observe the logo of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organizations, Swami so beautifully designed the logo with the Sarvadharma Stupa, with religions all around. And when we see the Sarvadharma Stupa, which is right in front of Swami's residence, on the top is a fully bloomed lotus, the Hridaya Kamalam, which very beautifully signifies that the purpose or the essence of all religions is nothing but the same, that is the blossoming of the heart, the Hridaya Kamalam. God is present in each and every one's heart. That is His place. So, Padme Sthitam Padmavarnam. So when we talk of Padme Sthitam, the existence of God in our heart, even the Narayana Suktam, we heard that God is the indweller of our hearts. So only when we develop compassion, only when we develop that love, Hrid plus Daya, Hridaya. When Swami was talking about the Hridaya Kamalam, how is it that we give place the Lord in our hearts? I am reminded of a very beautiful incident that I think we had narrated before also, when one of the youth members from Vishakhapatnam, he had the habit of going to Swami's Mandir in Vizag, and after end of every day, he used to sit in front of Swami's altar and he used to pray very fervently, because he had a doubt that whether Swami is omniscient or not, whether Swami is listening to me when I am sitting and praying here. How is it that I know that you are omnipresent? This was the doubt that was haunting him. And then ritualistically, he used to sit in front of Swami's altar at the end of every day, whatever happened during the course of that day, he used to pour out to Swami. Swami, I did this. Swami, I scolded this person. I behaved well with this man. So these were the kinds of representations or the offerings that this person used to do in front of Swami's altar. And then it so happened that he had come to Prashantanilayam on one occasion, and Swami called them for an interview. And then Swami beautifully asked him, "Why do you trouble me so much? Hridaya mandir se mat jao, hridaya mandir se mat jao." So he pleaded Swami during his prayers that you shouldn't go from my heart's residence. And then Swami asked him, "How can I stay in your heart when it is smelling foul, when it is stinking?" And he was taken aback as to why Swami is telling like this. So much of ego, so much of jealousy, so much of hatred. When all these things are there, how can I reside in your heart? That was the question that Swami was asking this boy. And then this person replied to Swami, "Swami, you are Hridaya Nivasi. You are supposed to be seated in the heart. So there is no other option for you." And then Swami tells him, "This is a revelation for all of us." And Swami tells, "See, yes, if you take the case of Ashoka Chakravarti, the entire kingdom, the entire empire is his own. But do you mean to say that Ashoka Chakravarti will go and sit next to the drainage? No. The place of the ruler, the place of the emperor is in the diamond-studded, gem-studded throne, which is so beautifully resplendent in the kingdom, in the hall. In the same way, my place is in a place, my place or my seat is a place where it is clean, where it is pure. So it is our responsibility to make our hearts clean and pure so that Padmesthitam, God resides in our heart. Padmavarnam, once God resides in our heart, healthy pink appearance, Padmavarnam, it is not that Mother Goddess is beautiful, resplendent in pink color, but once we fill our hearts with compassion, once she is seated in our hearts, our entire being will start glowing with all that love, with all the radiance. That is why when we see so many sadhakas, so many people who have done lot of service, it always enamors to see them more. That is the power of service, that is the power of compassion which is there in the heart. And as we were talking in the previous few minutes, that Swami had beautifully designed the logo of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organizations as the lotus, as the Sarvadharma symbol, the blooming of the lotus. So every member of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization should develop that kind of love, that kind of compassion that Swami expressed from all of us. Be in the world, but let not the world be in you. The selflessness, the love and compassion that you should develop while serving, that will result in the blossoming of the heart. Padmavarnam tami hopahvaye shriyam. So once you install that love, compassion and all the good qualities in your heart, when you are overjoyed with the presence of God in your heart, automatically God, who is exterior to you, would come running to you. So we need not even invite God. God is already close to us, already in us. So that is the tami hopahvaye shriyam. That energy, that power and that wealth is already there with us and within us. And this is how the Padme Sitam Padmavar Nam Tamihopahvaye Shriyam can be explained. So because we are running out of time today, we shall just go through the meaning of the next two lines and we shall go in detail in the next episode. Chandram prabhasam yashasajvalantim shriyam loke devajushtamudaram tam padminimim sharanamaham prapajye alakshmirmenashyatam tvam vrune. So whose shine manifestly suits and cools, yet fiery, flaming by her renown, whose energy pervades this existence, is divinely pleased and munificent to such a Padminim. I put my head at thy lotus feet, saying, Im, the Shakti sound, remove and destroy my Alakshmi by the choice divine. When we start talking about Alakshmi and how the presence or the existence of God takes away this Alakshmi, we shall try and discuss in the next episode. So with these few words, we shall bring this class to a close and we shall end with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram. And we do listen, request the listeners to do write their feedback, their thoughts and share their views about how we can make this program better to listener@sssmediacenter.org or WhatsApp it to 9393-258-258. So we shall end today's class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram and with a thought that every, with a prayer that every thought, word and deed is His inspiration. Yadakshara padabhrashtam matra hinantu yadbhavet tat sarvam kshamyatam deva narayana namostute visargabindu matrani padapadaksharani cha nyunani cha tiriktani kshamasvasai ishvara aparadha sahasrani kriyante harnishanmaya daso yamiti mamatva kshamasvasai ishvara anyadha sharanam nasti tvameva sharanam mama tasmat karunya bhavena raksha raksha sai ishvara harihi om tat sat sri sai ishvara arpanamastu. After this beautiful song, you will be listening to the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jari by Brother Sai Prasad. Sai Ram, happy listening. Stay tuned to Asia Stream.
Sai Ram. హృదయ విరహము మదిన ప్రార్థన మీకోసమే హృదయ విరహము మదిన ప్రార్థన మీకోసమే ప్రాణదీపమామం దయతో దీవించుమా
ప్రాణదీపమామం దయతో దీవించుమా
జయ విరహము మదిన ప్రార్థన జయ రామ సాయి జయ రామ జయ రామ జయ రామ
దిల్ కే అంధియారో మే సాయి దీప్ తేరే హై
दिल के अंधियारों में साई दीप तेरे हैं
आंधी में बहारों के ये नगमे तेरे हैं
आंधी में बहारों के नगमे तेरे हैं
लौट आए देखो खोए बिछड़े तेरे द्वारे हैं
लौट आए
राहों में हम सफर साईं तू ही है।
हृदय विरहमु मदिन प्रार्थना मीको समे,
हृदय विरहमु मदिन प्रार्थना मीको समे।
रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेधसे, रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय वदये नमः।
साई राम तेरा प्यार जीवन नाथा,
साई राम तेरा प्यार
जीवन नाथा। प्रेम धारा निकले दिल से है ये दिल की पुकार,
प्रेम धारा निकले दिल से
है ये दिल की पुकार।
चरणों में रख लो साई बाबा,
हमको तुमसे